Amen. It's good to remember Remembrance Day, just to remember the day. We sometimes can't just remember the day even, but it's a good thing to do. My memories of Remembrance Day, my connection with war is very limited, like PJ's. My father didn't even go to war because he had flat feet and he was a farmer. So sometimes flat feet is a good thing. But we lived with my uncle Andy for, I forget, 13, 18 years. I don't know. He lived with us, but he came back from the Second World War completely changed, and not for the good. He was in a sub going after U-boats, and that was his position, whatever you want to call it, and it destroyed his mind. And so we lived with Uncle Andy for many, many years, and we didn't talk about the war. He didn't ever tell us anything about the war, but he was a broken man that needed much, much mental help, and I'm hearing all kinds of echoes, so whatever you got to do to fix it, thank you. So I don't know if you got mics on the stand or what. Is it just inside my head? Okay. It's just ruining my story, that's all. So I will forget that story and we'll carry on. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. We're going to carry on with prayer. It's one of the things that Jesus did. So if we do a bit of a review, if you have been here for a while, I just want to put up a quote, if you would put up that quote about habits. And what we're trying to talk about is a rule of life, a way to go forward in our walk with God in a way that is sustainable, but it's something that we can see progression in. And so I like this quote about a habit. You show me a person's habits and I'll show you what they are truly most passionate about, most dedicated to, most willing to suffer for, and the most in love with. And you know, we use all these little sayings and quotes all the time. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your bank account and I'll tell you where your heart is, what you love. But this idea of a habit, of a rule of life, something that becomes part of your activities, part of your life. You show me your habits, like he said, this isn't my quote, and I can tell you what you're most dedicated to, what you're most willing to die for, what you value, what you love. What are your daily habits? And as I said earlier, you know, the Sabbath, we were talking about solitude last week. Those things don't just come easily. It's something that we have to fight for. It's something that we have to wrestle with, to get to become part of our everyday life, to become a habit, to become something that we value. And you would look back and say, you know, because of my great pastor's preaching, I listened to him. And I started to practice a Sabbath once a week. I started to have a solitude, a quiet time. I would take time with God like Jesus did to withdraw from the crowd, to withdraw to a quiet place. I would find time every day for such a thing. Maybe as best I can. And today we're talking about prayer. And I'm saying, God, I'm wrestling with these issues because it's not stuff that comes natural to people. And it's like, I don't want it to just be, okay, well, it's another part of a program. That's what we've been fighting for these last few weeks. So it's not just to get through a schedule and this is what we've chosen to speak on, but it's really what does God want for His church? So we said, you know, we want to know Jesus. We want to become like Jesus. What does that even look like? How do we do that? And then what does Jesus do? And as we get to know Jesus, as we spend time with Him, we actually start doing what he did. And so prayer is my subject for today. Do you pray? How's your prayer life? Are you satisfied with it? Is it fulfilling? Is it powerful? Is it vibrant? Is it dead? Is it quiet? What is it? Do you have a prayer life? You know, we're singing, I wish I could remember the songs better, but one of them was, you know, I fall on my knees, something about our knees, and I was singing that, and I was thinking through my thoughts, you know, the only time Christians lie is when we sing, but I fall on my knees, and I throw up my hands, whatever. I'm just like, I've done that. It's not something that happens naturally, but it's usually happened when it's been a battle, when there's serious things going on. And so if you've never felt the need to throw yourself before God on the floor or on your knees or lift your hands, maybe you haven't had real life battles yet. And I pray that you don't have to have them. But I can tell you times in my life when I can just close my eyes and I can see Bukoba, I can see Tanzania, I can see South Africa, I can see places where I was, even Swan Hills, especially Swan Hills. And now here in Enjoy Life, where I have nothing left to do but to just fall on my knees before God, and I throw up my hands. If you knew the song, I'd sing it for you this morning. But what else do we have? And the thought I had as we were singing that this morning is, thank God I haven't had to do that so much in the last 24 hours. But may we never lose that place of just being able to call out to God and to cry out for His mercy and to believe Him to deliver us and to help us. Amen? Yeah. If I think back of times when I've had to just call on the name of Jesus, and today I'm going to be talking about prayer, but there's all kinds and all ways, and there's no special way to do it, and Jesus taught us to pray, and we'll read His words just in a minute in Mark, or Matthew chapter 6, but it's like, don't just let it be a preach to you this morning, to me this morning. May it be something that grips our heart, like a Sabbath, once a week, like a quiet time, once a day, like prayer without ceasing. You know, pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. Have this attitude of communion with God and talking with God every hour, every day. I don't know what to say. So that we learn to walk in this place where we're hearing God. Is that okay? Are you praying? Do you have a prayer life? I'm going to repeat it. Is it good? Is it satisfying? Where are you at in your prayer life? And we're all on this journey. And I pray that God would just grow that muscle in us to call on His name, to spend time with Him, to pull away from the world, to pull away from our lives and our busy and TV and whatever. I don't even want to start. And have a moment, have an hour, have some time with Jesus. Amen? Okay. Now let's listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 5 to 15, I'll see how much of it I read. He's giving them some commands. He's telling His disciples something here. He's telling them about giving. We're not talking about that today. That's coming. Generosity. Talking about prayer. And He says in verse 5, and when you pray, did you hear that? Can you shout hallelujah? You don't even know why, but I appreciate that. When you pray, this is Jesus. I'm not Jesus. This is Jesus, the red letter edition. Amen? He's serious. When you pray, that should be the whole sermon this morning. When you pray, do you pray? Do I pray? Do we talk with God? But he's assuming these guys are generous. He's assuming that they're praying. He's assuming that they're fasting. He's talking to His disciples. He's talking to you and me. He's saying, when you pray. And I just, those words just kept hitting me this week. When you pray, when you pray, When you pray. Yeah, when I pray. I'm a pray person. This is a house of prayer. Jesus wants us to pray. When you pray. Then he gives them some instruction. But we got to start there. When you pray. When you pray. I'm saying it on purpose. When you pray. I want, if you forget everything else I've said this morning, when you pray. We need to be praying. Amen? Amen. Do not be like the hypocrites, number one. These are all preaching points, but I'm not going to. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. So don't do that. Prayer is not just to be show for someone else. This is between you and God. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, I wish I could rap. I would rap something so good that you would never forget. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen? Amen. And here we go again. When you pray, say when you pray. Thank you. Say, when I pray.
When I pray.
Thank you. Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. So when you pray, pray like this. And here's the perfect prayer. You type in this prayer. I mean, there's some good things about Google and chat GPTs and whatever they are. It's unbelievable what can come. Sermons, testimonies, garbage, but this prayer is the perfect prayer. And he says, pray this. When you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy, infallible word. When you pray. You want to be like Jesus? You want to follow Jesus? You want to do what Jesus did? We have to pray. We have to be people who talk with and hear from God. And just saying that, I would warn you, be careful where you say that. I talk with God. And I hear God. Oh, I remember our friends in South Africa. I don't need to mention his name. Some of you know him. Moved to Germany and had three little guys, I think at that time, maybe four. I forget how the kid's story was. They go to a brand new school in Germany. And it's very liberal, makes Canada, especially this part of the world, seem very, very conservative and very Christian. First day, second day of school, little guy, barely, grade one, grade two, I forget what grade he was in. The teacher's introducing the new kids, and she asks this little guy, "Oh, welcome, why are you in Germany?" And him being an innocent little South African Christian boy, used to freedom, he says, "God told us to." Whoo! He got taken out of class. His father got a call, come down, meet with the teachers. What is this? what is this about? What are you doing? What is happening here? It's like this whole story to where they had to meet with him and say, okay, son, this is different. We're in Germany now. We guard our words a little bit more carefully. How we talk about our relationship with God. They were like, you hear God? You're talking with, what is this? Like, what are we introducing into our classroom? This little boy. I remember Matthew coming to Canada. His his first day in school, grade 2. You can hide, but you can't run, brother. Especially when you sit on the front row. We get called from the school. First day in grade 2, Matthew's in the principal's office. And they call us in very, very, very serious. We're concerned. And they take out Matthew's little picture. And what he had drawn was, a couple little guys, but the one little guy had a knife. And there's some little blood dripping from the knife. And this was very serious. What is behind this? What is this? And so we had to assure them that it was just a little boy playing games and talking with his friends and what. And it wasn't like he came out of a murderer's home and he was living with this stuff and, you know, the exposing what we were all about. When they got to know us, we actually became a bit of friends, but it was like, you know, we won't believe everything he tells us about you if you don't believe everything he tells you about us. It's like, we got to deal with this. So when we talk about prayer, talking to God and hearing from God, we're serious. It's part of our Christian life. It's what we do. It's like, it's more real than this physical world we're living in. Is that okay? It makes more sense to talk to God in heaven than to talk to you. And if that concerns you, I don't know what to tell you. The spiritual world is as real as anything you see here. And I'm spiritual, you're spiritual. What can I say? And if talking to God offends you and hearing from God offends you, then sorry. But Jesus himself said, when you pray, this is what you do. And you go in your closet and you pray. So I only lost one person this morning so far. So that's not bad. Maybe it was just a quick smoke. I don't know. But we talk to God. And we hear from God. Amen? Do you? Do you? Answer me. Do you pray? Yeah. Do you hear God? Yeah. You wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't know the voice of God. If you didn't, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Amen? We heard his voice when we received him as Lord and Savior. That's why we responded to him, because he spoke to us. He made himself real to us. And everyone in this room has a testimony, I trust, of how God spoke to you at different times, different ways. Through miracles, through just an inner voice, through audible voice, through any way that God chooses to speak. But he spoke to us, and we hear him. And that's what a Christian life is about, walking with God. Amen. So Jesus says, you can put up the next slide. He's the prototype for everything. You know, he laid down his glory. He operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. He prayed in and for everything. And I've already asked a couple of these questions. Are you happy with your prayer life? Is it good? Are you satisfied? But I want to just say prayer is an essential part of a Christian's relationship with God. Amen? It's essential if you're going to talk about having a relationship with God. It's more than just a ritual list of things to do. Put up a next slide. Let's move along. The disciples prayed. I like that, you know, so Jesus is the prototype. And I imagine speaking about that quite long today, but I'm not going to. Just this picture of Jesus praying, going away quietly to pray, sitting quietly somewhere in a cave. I shared last week or whenever when we were with R.T. Kendall in the Holy Land, up in the cave overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and that was R.T.'s favorite place. He goes there two or three times a year, and we were with him, and he's taken us to his favorite place to pray, and he believes that's where Jesus was. And you know, when you're sitting there reading the scripture, sitting there, you're like, yeah, this is probably true. You can see the whole Sea of Galilee, and Jesus could see them straining at the oars, and then he walked out on the water, and it's like, yeah, I believe it. And we prayed, and they prophesied over us, and they prayed for this church that was to be being planted. That was the year we had just come here, and we were praying together, and he's the prototype, Jesus. So when you're sitting in those caves and you're reading some of Jesus' prayers and you're walking in the Garden of Gethsemane and you walk and you look over Jerusalem and you read about Jesus weeping and you do these things, it's like, yeah, this is just like my life. And becomes a real thing. So he's the prototype. But then read the scriptures about the disciples. How the disciples prayed, how they taught us to pray, how they commanded us to pray, how they just took the teachings of Jesus and the truth, and the Holy Spirit just came and anointed them, and they taught about prayer. And I am standing here today, I'm like, God, I don't want to just be a dry mouth preacher talking about something that's not real. Praying is the most precious gift we have as a Christian, as a believer. Walking with the Lord, talking. I know he walks with me and he talks with. I think I should write a song about it. Just how the Lord meets us and he spends time with us. And that's what was broken in the Garden of Eden. And that's what the Holy Spirit came to restore to us. What Jesus died for was to bring that relationship back together again, that it would be genuine and we would be able to walk and talk and have fellowship with the Lord. And not shy away from him. When I don't know if I should tell the story, but why not? I wrote it down, so it must be the Lord, right? Careful what you blame the anointing of the Holy Spirit on. But there was a particular lady in Swan Hills, and the verse that I have here is, you know, they devoted themselves to prayer and to the word, the apostles. And they chose the deacons to help, to serve. And they devoted themselves to the word, to prayer and to the word. But my story about Swan Hills, there was a particular, some things just get burned in your brain, right? Like I can see where I stood, I can see the person, I can see. And so I was waxing eloquently, I don't even know what about him. Probably like this, and talking about the disciples and apostles and preaching and teaching the disciples. I don't know what I was talking about, but I can still see the person. I can still see their face. So be careful what you say, because 20 years from now, I'll remember you. That was 40 years ago. I won't be here in 40 years, so that's why I say 20 years. I might remember you. But I said, why did they say that? Why did these disciples say, you know, we will devote ourselves to the word and to prayer? And I'm thinking spiritual thoughts and, you know, I'm new in the ministry. I'm trying to understand what it means to be a pastor. I'm driving the nursery bus one day. I'm working with the police as a guard another day. I'm doing plumbing another day just to have the privilege of preaching to the mass congregation in Swan Hills. And I'm asking, Why did they say this? And her answer, it was her, bless the ladies. Her answer was, because they were too lazy to go to work. And I'm like, I don't think that's the meaning in the scriptures. And I realized, okay, I kind of understand where I fit in this program right now. what's expected of a preacher in Swan Hills. But why did they devote themselves to prayer and to the Word? Because Jesus told them to. Because that's what caused the church to explode and to grow. As the Word of God was preached, the Word of God, the gospel was bearing fruit everywhere it went. And when the gospel is preached, a church develops, forms around it. The kingdom of God breaks in. A church comes to life around the Word of God and ministry. And it happens. And so they were pray warriors. They were prayers. They prayed. And they gave themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. And the church grew. And so Jesus prayed, the disciples prayed, and everybody in between them and now that follows Jesus is a prayer person. These houses that we meet in are to be a house of prayer. I love that we take time to pray with people before, after, during, before, midweek. Whenever we come together in our homes, we pray together. And it matters, okay? So that's why we pray. Not because I don't want to get a job. Just so you know, okay? Maybe it hasn't changed much in 40 years, but it was so good to welcome some new folk. Welcome, seriously. And we pray for you, and we will do more of that, and we will come around you. And I pray that people do come around if you feel new here and get to know you. Share your, get in people's faces, get in their homes, tell them your story, mix it up together. That's why we pray together. That's why we have pastors and leaders and people involved, to get involved in each other's lives. And so to see new people joining the church. You're maybe not brand new to the faith, some are. But you come and you're part of this family. Make this your home. Push in. Get involved. Come and pray with us. Come and open up your life with us. Share your life with us. Be part of the house of God. Be part of the family of God. Is that okay? Yeah. But that's why we have pastors and elders and deacons and people involved. And it's because we believe in this. We believe in coming together, that this place would be a place of prayer, a place of a family coming together and encouraging one another in the things of God. Amen. So here are some foundational principles of prayer from the Bible. Thank you. Faith and trust, James 1:6. You know, if you know what that says, it says, ask in faith with no doubting, emphasizing that prayer should be rooted in trust and belief in God's power and goodness. He's not saying not doubting, you know, this sort of this false, I have no doubt, I'm praying without, okay, no doubt. He's saying, have no doubt in God. Prayer is to be prayed trusting and believing in God, in His goodness. Not in my pathetic little prayer, and if I can just get this prayer just right, there is a place to pray according to the will, and that's the next couple of stories in a minute. But this is talking about having a trust in God. Yeah. That when you pray, don't doubt. Believe. Yeah. Believe. Believe God. Believe God is good. Believe God answers. Believe God's giving the answer to me. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But He's answering my prayer. And our prayers are not futile. They're not empty. They're not just phrases. They're not just words babbling along like the Gentiles. We don't do this with the big trumpets walking down the streets of Jerusalem so that people can notice how holy and how good we are. We pray because God is faithful and we can trust Him. So don't doubt when you pray. And then the second one is persistence. I was going to say perseverance, but that's a good one too. Persistence. Jesus encourages persistence in prayer, Luke 18:1-8, through the parable of the persistent widow. That story still is amazing to me. And if you go and read it, it's an amazing picture of prayer. This widow just torments this poor guy so much that he finally says, okay, have it. It's like, Go read the story. But there's just this persistence. There's just this knocking, you know, seeking, asking, knocking. It's kind of like this progression. You know, seek, ask, knock. It's like, okay, there's going to be an answer here somewhere. I'm going to find it. Hello. You start knocking. Then you start pushing in. It's like, where's the answer? What is God doing? Where's God in this? What's he saying to me? And not from a place of anger or a place of disbelief, but from a place of, I trust God. Yeah. I'm going to pray for this thing. I'm going to pray this through until I see an answer. And I shared, you know, my testimony last week. I think it was last week. It seems like 100 years ago, of my knee getting healed. The first time I did that to my meniscus, I only know about it because I went to the physio and learned some stuff about why what happened when I sprained my ankle 5 times in high school, and that changed the way I do this, and it put pressure and does all these things. But I got a knee brace, and it took about 6 months, 8 months for this burning to go away, and then it got better, and, you know, that was a couple of years ago. So then I did it again, foolishly on the concrete, working on my car, kneeled. I feel it burn. I'm like, oh, this is not good. I shouldn't be doing this. And then my knee was doing the same thing. And then Russell prayed for me 2 weeks ago. And I told him, I said, I feel heat in my knee. And I said, I know that's every evangelist story. What do you feel? Oh, I feel heat. I feel warmth. Whatever. You got to say something when the evangelist says what's happening. But I said, I feel like it's warm. And then I went home and I was telling Lori about it. And she said, you should phone Russell and encourage him. And I told Russell at the front here, I confessed. I said, I just want to make sure. So last Sunday, I testified that pain left when he prayed. It's never come back. And I said to him, sorry, I should have called you. But, you know, I testified last week so that I don't get cursed with both knees broken. It's like, Jesus healed my knees. And it's not like I'm faking. No, I think it's better. It hasn't pained, and it's healed. Amen. And I'm like, okay, God answers prayer. Yeah. That idea of that widow persistently asking. Somebody in this room needs to hear that this morning. Yeah. You've given up on prayer. I'm going to talk about some of the things that hinder prayer, and if I get to it because I'm talking too long, but it's like, don't quit. Don't give up asking. Don't give up seeking God for an answer to whatever it is you're looking for. He wants us to come to him and bring our requests and make them known so that he can show himself. Sometimes God lets it get to the place where when the answer comes, everybody knows it was only God who could do that. Amen. Only God could have done that and changed that and made that and worked that. And let me ask you, how many of you have had an answer to prayer? Yeah. Good. Let's keep asking. That's, you know, I said the other day, we need to call this prayer time miracle time. We need to stir up our faith. We need to encourage each other. We're not just, you know, asking nice little Christian things. We are saying, God, break through, change lives, change marriages, restore families, restore fortunes, restore lives, yeah. Save families. Yeah. Those are big prayers, yeah. But God answers those prayers. Amen. And he asks us to pray, and it's for us, for our sake. So number 3, alignment with God's will. 1 John 5:14, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The principle highlights the importance of seeking God, desires and purposes in our prayers, aligning our requests with his greater plans. Purpose of prayer is to help us when we come to God. God knows before we ask, Jesus said. He knows our circumstances. So why pray? It's all going to just be, yeah, God's just, he knows everything. He says, come and ask, seek me, knock, and the door will be open. Amen? Yeah. He gives us that command. I like, you know, people always have all these, whatever they're called, pray until something happens. Like, get a hold of something that reminds you to keep praying. Yeah. And there's nothing more encouraging to us as Christians when God answers prayer. When God heals your little nephew. I'm like you. Okay, was the knee really healed? Is, you know, was it prayer that really brought him home, but your friend's other story? It's like, we don't understand all things that happen. We are commanded to pray. Yeah. And we pray, and we see God heal, and we see God take others to heaven, and we see God, people go through many trials and tribulations, and we say, okay, God, we're not doubting, we're trusting you. Yeah. We're going to trust you. And we pray and say, okay, God, what's your will? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as going back to the perfect prayer, we could go through that prayer and principles and what that means. Go look on Google Machine, as Lori's mom would say, and you can get the 10 lessons on the prayer. But pray. Yeah. When you pray. And I want to encourage you, God answers prayer. These principles that I talked about, these remind us that it's not just about asking for what we want, but it's trusting, persevering, and seeking God to understand His will. I got too many. The first prayer in the Bible, Genesis 4:26, they began to call out on God. I thought I might spend time there, but I don't know. But it's like, you just read that first prayer. They didn't know much. They just started to call out on God. Yeah. And I love that picture. It's like, if you ever have gotten desperate, and that's why I was saying, if you haven't had to throw yourself on the ground, if you haven't ever had to fall on your knees and just throw up your hands, then God bless you. But there's something good about just surrendering to God and just saying, God, if you don't move in this circumstance, if you're not here, if you don't help us, we're finished. We're finished. And not just playing around, we're finished. And we trust you. And God is faithful. And God comes through. So let's look at a couple kinds of prayer, types of prayer. Petition, praying for our needs, seeking God for others. Intercession, praying on behalf of others, asking for God's intervention in their lives. Thanksgiving, offering gratitude to God, acknowledging His blessings and past faithfulness. Worship, adoration, praying to just simply to honor and glorify God for who He is beyond what He does. There's prayer of confession, prayer of healing, prayers of blessing. Amen? Yeah. You go through the Bible and just, you can make, there's more. There's more types of prayers. Some of them were I forget the word of it. You'll have to ask a theologian. The word just left me. But David's saying, just tear their heads off, you know, deal with my enemy. It's like, there's every kind of prayer going on there. But the point I want to make is pray. Yeah. I love reading prayers of the old saints who prayed in intercession. And our friends in Kenya were the same. They said there was never a prayer that they prayed that God didn't answer. And what they meant by that is they would pray and pray and pray and get the word from God, and that's when they would pray for the need, or that's when they would pray for this, because they had already heard from God, and they said their prayers were always answered. It doesn't mean every prayer that everybody just prayed out there. It meant when they heard God, they had that faith, that understanding of God's will for them, and they spoke that out, God heard, God moved, and that faith that moves a mountain type of prayer. We need to be praying. I want to end with this. Prayer is vital. It's an ongoing conversation. Oh, the barriers to pray. I think I got a slide for that. Hindrances. You can read them for yourself. I don't know where you're at. Doubt. Fear. Inadequacy. I don't know. Maybe someone's given up on prayer today. He said, you know what? I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray. Nothing. Nothing changes. No answer. Nothing. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't listen to the devil. Yeah. Don't listen to yourself. Listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to what Jesus says. Put your trust in Him and ask. Seek. believe him. When you pray, do what he said. Find a place. Go there. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to your Father in heaven. He knows before you ask, but he's waiting for you to ask. He's saying, ask. Come to me. Come to me and ask. Yeah. Let's read two scripture verses. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. James 5:16. It's in the Amplified. It's not quite like the Living Bible where you get the recipe for Rice Krispie Squares, but the Amplified is good. Sometimes to just read it and get some meaning from it. I like all the translations that I have. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another, amen, that you may be healed and restored. But this is the verse I was trying to get to. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As I said, my King, where's Terry? I want a prize. All my scriptures are in King James. That should be double prizes. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Who's righteous? Every one of us who's called on the name of Jesus. Everyone who submitted and surrendered their life to Christ. We are righteous because he declares us righteous. Not because what we've done, what we are going to do, what we didn't do. Because of who Jesus is, we are righteous in him. And the fervent prayer, the persistent prayer, the active prayer of a righteous person, man, woman, mtu is what the Swahili says, better than the English word there. Availeth much, does much, accomplishes much. And somebody needs to hear that again this morning, your prayers, and then you knit them together, and I could go on and on with all kinds of prayers. It's personal, and then it's corporate, and when we come together and we pray, and when two or three are gathered in his name, we ask, and God is there, and he answers prayer. Yeah, and I can give you testimony, not only of last week of my knee, but of God's answer to prayer. Life-changing, life-altering prayer of people. And my life, in our family, in our finances, in our health, in every part of our life. God's answered prayer. And he says, confess your faults, your offenses, your sidesteps, whatever English works for you, the stuff in your life. And it doesn't mean just go tell everybody everything. It means come together as believers and talk and share your life and your story and pray for one another and believe God. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man into changes the circumstances. Changes heaven, changes the atmosphere, changes. And it's not like every time we feel it, but there's times, man, I'm telling you, when you just know God has answered prayer. God has spoken, and that's it. And you get up off your knees, and you just know God has answered. One more scripture, Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7. I'll just cut into it, but he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In what? In everything. In everything. Say everything.
Everything.
In everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. Amen. Do you pray? R.T. Kendall's book, I was going to quote much from him, but did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? Before, during, after. May God help us, amen, to grow our prayer muscle. We said it when we came back from MFI. We've been sharing it, you know, new rhythms. That's why we're trying to talk about this stuff, a Sabbath, a solitude time. What I realize in my little mind is these things are so linked to one another. You need to take a Sabbath. You need to be able to find a time with peace, with God, with just quiet your life. As I said, just stop. Just stop. And you need to find a quiet place where you can get away with God, where you can take a moment and you can wait. And then we need to pray. And all kinds of prayers, loud ones, quiet ones, a ghost of a whisper of a prayer, a pleading, fervent prayer that shakes the rafters. I don't know. What I do want to end with is, can I challenge you as men and women in this house to grow your muscle, your prayer muscle? As a church, I'm telling you, we got to do it. We're not going to gain traction. We're not going to be able to sustain what God wants for us to sustain and to build without prayer in our personal lives and corporately as a church. And so we're asking you in your homes, pray. Life groups, pray. When we come together, pray. Pray. Make this a house of prayer. This be a house of prayer. My heart be a house of prayer where God can speak to me and I can speak to Him. Amen? Amen. Make your requests known in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't be anxious. Trust God. Believe God. And when we pray, expect Him to answer. Because He does. He does. He answers. He answers. Amen. Welcome.